Good morning, or good afternoon if you are listening to this later on in the day. We will have another lesson from God's Word here today. These lessons are intended to help strengthen us during the time that we are unable to assemble together. And I want to begin again this morning by going to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for you and for all that you've done and for all that you continually do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for sending your Son to this earth. Thank you for his perfect life. Thank you for his death and his resurrection. Heavenly Father, thank you for the salvation that has been made possible because of Jesus and what he has done. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and the Word that he has given. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of prayer. Thank you for working through your providence and answering prayer in ways that you determine best. Thank you for the joy and the hope and the peace that those who are your faithful children are able to have. Heavenly Father, thank you for the church that meets in Olney. Thank you for each one who is a part of the church here in Olney. Heavenly Father, please help much good to come from this study here today. Please help each one who listens to this to be strengthened. Please help much good to come from it. Please help the truth to be spoken in love and simplicity and in humility. And Heavenly Father, please help each one of us who listens to this to be strengthened and remember our purpose and be fervent in study and in prayer and in living the life that you want us to live. Please be with those who are in special need of prayers. Please be with those battling various physical illnesses. If it be your will, we pray that they would be strengthened physically. And we pray that no matter what happens physically, that they would be strong spiritually. Thank you for you and your Son and the Holy Spirit, for all that you've done and for all that you do. This I pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen. Last Sunday morning in our lesson, we began by looking at a principle that is expressed in one of the songs in our hymnals. The song is titled, Take Time to Be Holy. And I want to begin here again this morning by looking at another hymn in our songbooks and noticing the theme that is expressed in these words. And that hymn is number 402 in Hymns for Worship, if you have a hymnal handy. The song is titled, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And the verse that the Hymns for Worship editors put at the top of the page in reference to this theme of leaning on the everlasting arms is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. This verses in the context of Moses speaking his last words to the Israelites just before his death. They were about to conquer the promised land, and Moses was about to pass away. And he says in part there in that verse, God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, as you think about that phrase in context, Moses was expressing to the physical nation of Israel that if they would serve the Lord faithfully, they would be strengthened and supported and safe and secure in God. And certainly that had a lot of implication for the physical nation of Israel. But that principle, as we come to the New Testament, we find is a principle that has a lot of implication for God's faithful children today as we recognize that God is our refuge and that, figuratively speaking, He is the one whose arms we ought to lean on. And that's true at any time, but it is especially true when we are going through trials, or especially a good time, maybe I should say, for us to be mindful of this principle when faced with trials, recognizing that God is the one whose everlasting arms we ought to lean on. And I want to concentrate on this theme in this lesson here today. It is well understood probably by each one of us that the circumstances that people are facing in the time and place that we live have many facing trying circumstances. And probably each one of us can identify other times in our lives when we faced great hardships as well. And when faced with these hardships, it is so easy to allow them to consume us and in a lot of ways take over our lives. And it is really important to constantly remind ourselves of those everlasting arms that we can lean on if we are faithful children of God. And really appreciating those everlasting arms comes down to really appreciating what the Scriptures teach about God and who He is. And that's what I want to concentrate primarily on in this lesson here today. We'll look here today at some characteristics of God that should help us to understand and appreciate just how strong He is and how imperative it is that we lean upon Him, especially when faced with trials in life. And so, for instance, one characteristic of God that is good to be mindful of, especially when faced with trials, is that God is all-seeing. God is fully aware and perfectly understands everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, and everything that we ever face in our lives. If you look over at Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and in verse 13, there the inspired writer says, "There is no creature that is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." Now, as you think about this verse, there is both a warning, but also encouragement given in this verse to various groups of people, and which of those two we need to focus on first depends upon what group of people we are a part of. And what I mean by that is the one who reads this verse who is a hypocrite, the one who reads this verse who thinks, for instance, I can do what I want as long as nobody finds out, the one who thinks no one will know that I have done this or that or whatever it might be that violates the will of God, to that person, this verse ought to cause him or her to tremble and to realize that the one whose judgment matters most is fully aware of everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think. And the one who hypocritically serves God at times on the outside in ways simply to get a good reaction from others, but is not sincere and genuine in his or her service to God, ought to tremble at this verse as well. And that trembling should lead that person to repentance in recognition of the fact that God sees right through the hypocrite. But while this verse is one that ought to cause the hypocrite to tremble, It's also a verse that ought to cause the sincere, faithful child of God to take great comfort. It is a great comfort to know that God is fully aware of everything going on in our lives. He knows what we face on a daily basis. If you look over at Revelation, the second chapter, in Revelation, the second chapter, in these two chapters of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the Lord addresses seven churches who were in Asia. And in addressing these seven churches, He has a mixed bag, we might say, of commendations and rebukes. Some of the Christians among these churches being addressed were not faithful to the Lord, and these erring Christians were told that they needed to make correction. But there were other Christians who were a part of these churches, or a church at least, who were being told that they were pleasing to God and they were encouraged by the things that the Lord said to them. And one of the churches that is given nothing but commendation is the church at Smyrna. And as you consider what was said to the church at Smyrna in Revelation, the second chapter, and in verse 9, these words are words of great comfort. Notice he says here in Revelation 2 and verse 9, he says, I know your works, oppression, and your poverty. So notice he says to these Christians in Smyrna what he says to all of the seven churches. He says, I know. But specifically to those in Smyrna, these words, I know, would have been words of great comfort. Those in Smyrna were serving the Lord faithfully, and they could take comfort in the fact that God was fully aware of all that they were doing, of all that they were saying, of all that they were thinking. Others might misunderstand. Others might fail to appreciate what they were doing, but God was fully aware, and He was pleased with them, and that was a source of great comfort. And not only was He aware of what they were doing and saying and thinking, but He was aware of the trials that they were facing. As He says, I know your oppression and your poverty. And it helps us to understand that no matter what trials we are facing, God knows. God is fully aware. God sees all that we are facing. And that is something that is a tremendous comfort that ought to prompt us to lean on His everlasting arms. Anytime we're going through trials in life, if we call up somebody to ask for support, we might call up one of our brothers or sisters in Christ, it is a comfort when that person does their best to empathize with us and to understand as best as they can. And when we hear them express things that we can tell they're getting, at least to an extent, they're getting what we're telling them, that's something that's a comfort to us. And how much more of a comfort ought it to be to consider that the Creator of this world looks upon us and perfectly understands everything that we face. And when we approach Him in prayer, He knows and understands perfectly all that we say to Him, all that we are going through as we cast our anxiety upon Him. And that leads us into our next point about God's character that is a cause for comfort, a cause for leaning on His everlasting arms. And that is the fact that God is caring. If you look over in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and in verse 7. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and in verse 7, there the inspired apostle commands, casting all your anxiety upon Him. And he goes on to say, because He careth for you. And so he gives this command that is a duty on the one hand to cast our anxiety on God. But then he says something in the second part of the verse that indicates this is really a privilege to be able to do this. This is a wonderful blessing to be able to do this, as he says that God cares for us. It is great to know that somebody understands, but then to take that a step further, to know that somebody cares about things that we're facing, is cause for even greater joy and peace. Another song in our hymnals that I want to reference here today is number 466, or 466 in Hymns for Worship. The song is titled, Does Jesus Care? And I know probably many of you don't have access right now to a hymnal, so I'll read some of the words to this song to illustrate this principle that we are stressing here. Song 466, titled, Does Jesus Care? The first verse of this song, as it expresses Jesus' care for us, and the same can be said with God the Father's care for us and with the Holy Spirit's care for us. The first verse says, Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Verse 2 says, Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Verse 3 says, Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, as it ought to him, does he see? And then the chorus goes on to say, Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Just thinking about the words of this song and the words there, 1 Peter 5, 7, that express this principle is a source of great comfort for the faithful Christian to know not only is God perfectly aware of everything that we face, but he also perfectly cares and wants to help in ways that he determines appropriate. And that then leads us into our third point about the character of God that gives us reason to trust him and lean on his everlasting arms. And that is that God is faithful. God is not only perfectly aware of everything that we face, not only does he perfectly care and want to help us in ways that he determines appropriate, but he is perfectly faithful to provide the help that he determines is appropriate and to ensure that all of the blessings and the assurances that he gives to his faithful children will be ultimately fulfilled. A verse that expresses this part of God's character is 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 13. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and in verse 13, there the inspired apostle Paul says, No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So notice here in this verse, the inspired apostle stresses the fact that no matter what temptation we face in life, we can always be 100% certain that there is a way of escape, meaning there is a possibility for us to choose not to yield to that temptation, but instead to take the path that God wants us to take. And so we can be absolutely certain that with every temptation, there is a means by which we can endure it and choose to do what is right and not give in to sin. And in assuring us of this, the inspired apostle gives a really important truth in the midst of this verse that leads us to to this assurance, and that important truth is God is faithful. The word faithful, as it's used in a context such as this, has to do with reliability, trustworthiness, dependability. In other words, we can know with absolute certainty because of who God is that God will make sure there is always a way of escape with every temptation we face. And in like manner, God will make sure that everything He has promised is going to be fulfilled. And part of what He promises involves all of those spiritual blessings that He bestows on those who are His faithful children. We see this alluded to in Titus, the first chapter, and in verse 2. In Titus, the first chapter, and in verse 2, notice there, as Paul begins his epistle addressing Titus here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he mentions that he's writing in hope of eternal life. And speaking about that hope of eternal life, he says, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So notice here, Paul is writing with this hope that is the anchor of the faithful Christian soul. And this hope that he is able to have is of eternal life. And that eternal life that he is living with hope of is something he can have because God, who cannot lie, has promised it. If God were not faithful, if he were not trustworthy, then he might promise something and not follow through with it. But because of who God is, he cannot lie. Everything he promises, he will fulfill. All of the blessings that he assures in his word are bestowed on his faithful children, we can rest assured, will be fully realized. And that leads us to know beyond any doubt that there will be eternal life given to those who are faithful in Christ. The righteous of all ages are going to be able to spend eternity together in the direct presence of God, and that's something we can know beyond any doubt because of God's faithfulness, and that faithfulness thus gives us great reason for comfort when faced with difficulties and at any time in our lives. Another verse that ties in with the faithfulness of God and the need that we have to lean on His everlasting arms in light of His faithfulness is Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 5. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 5. This is a verse here, one of several, that warns against the sin of covetousness and speaks about our need to be content. And in the second part of the verse, a key reason is given for why we ought to be content with such things as we have. Notice in the second part of that verse, it says, "For he has said, I will in no way leave you, neither will I in any way forsake you." God has made that promise to be with us and help us in ways that He determines appropriate if we choose to surrender our will to His. That doesn't mean that any trial that we face, God is guaranteed to remove that trial from our lives. It might be that He removes that trial from our lives, but it might also be that He helps us through that trial. However He chooses to help us, we can rest assured that things are going to be okay as long as we faithfully serve God. And so as we think about these three key characteristics of God, His all-seeing nature, His perfect care, His faithfulness, this ought to prompt us to be motivated to lean on His everlasting arms. And there's a few things that I want to touch on briefly that are involved in leaning on His everlasting arms. If you turn over to Philippians, the 4th chapter, In Philippians, the fourth chapter, notice several things that are brought out in verse 6. This is a familiar verse to many of you, and it's one that no matter how many times we look at this verse, we can always glean a great deal from. And notice here today, as we think about this verse, at least three things alluded to that are imperative brought out in this verse. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Notice there, first of all, he says, "In nothing be anxious." Instead, he says, "Let your requests be made known to God." That expresses the idea of confident trust. Instead of being anxious through various trials that we face, submit to the will of God and cast our anxieties upon Him and know that things will be okay as long as we surrender to Him. That involves this idea of confident trust, and what goes hand in hand with that is this principle of prayerfulness that is expressed here in this verse when he says, "By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so this verse expresses our need for trust, our need for prayerfulness, and thirdly, it expresses our need for gratitude. As notice it says there, "By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Being grateful to God for who He is and all that He's done for us is so key for us to receive the strength and support that His everlasting arms offer. And that's something to be mindful of as we think about what is involved in leaning upon His everlasting arms. If you look just a couple of verses down, notice a couple of additional things brought out in verse 8 there, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4 goes on to say there, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true," excuse me, "whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think about these things." So not only do we need to be casting our cares on God in confident trust, not only do we need to be grateful to God, but we need to be meditating upon the beautiful truths that God has given us through His revealed Word. And this, like prayer, is something that on the one hand is a duty, but on the other hand, it is a great privilege. It's a great privilege to know, no matter what we face, if we're faithfully serving God, we can dig into His Word and feed upon the spiritual nourishment provided in His Word. And we can have that edification that comes through the Word of God. That's such a blessing for us to be able to dig into His Word, these truthful and honorable and just and pure and lovely and praiseworthy and virtuous things that we can study and that we can meditate upon. But this gets at where our focus is. It helps us to see that for us to be overcoming discouragement, which is a lot of the focus of this passage here in Philippians 4, it is needful for us to be spiritually minded and spiritually focused. Focused on the beautiful truths contained in God's Word. It is so easy to get caught up in the here and now and all of the temporal things going on around us, but it is so imperative for us to have that spiritual focus that God wants us to have. And the person who does this is then going to be able to have such wonderful, permanent blessings. Even as we're here on this earth, the faithful Christian, in a sense, is able to live the best life of anybody here on earth, not from the perspective of being guaranteed to have a great deal of physical health and physical wealth and so forth, but from the perspective of being able to live with that unspeakable joy that comes by faithfully serving God, that peace that surpasses all understanding that's talked about here in Philippians 4 and verse 7. That contentment that we can have regardless of temporal circumstances. It's talked about a little bit further down there in Philippians chapter 4. That hope that anchors our soul that we touched on a few moments ago. That fulfillment of purpose that comes by surrendering to God. All of these blessings are blessings that we're able to have even as we're here on earth. And ultimately, we can look forward to the fact that for eternity, we're going to be in the direct presence of God with the righteous of all ages if we choose to serve Him faithfully. Such wonderful blessings come to those who choose to lean upon the everlasting arms of God. I want to read some words from the song as we come to the end of this lesson here today, the song that we opened with, song 402 in Hymns for Worship, again, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I just want to read the words to the verses here in this song and think about just how wonderful of blessings are expressed in these words. And this is expressing principles that we see taught throughout Scripture. Verse 1 here says, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms." Verse 2 says, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms." Verse 3 says, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." God is the answer for discouragements, trials, tribulations that we face. The answer is to surrender to God and lean upon Him, submit to His will. He is the source of lasting, permanent joy and peace and hope and contentment. Again, because of who He is, because of His great care for us, His great love, all that He's done for us, His perfect understanding, His perfect faithfulness, all of this should prompt us to choose to lean on His everlasting arms. I want to read one last passage here in this lesson before we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. There, the inspired Apostle Paul was opening up an epistle in which he speaks a lot about sufferings that he faced as a servant of the Lord's. And he says here in these two verses, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction through the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Again, God is the answer. He is the God of all comfort. He is the one who provides everlasting strength and support and help if we will choose to come to Him on His terms and lean upon Him, trust in Him, be prayerful, be feeding upon the spiritual nourishment He provides us. Be meditating on those beautiful truths. Be spiritually minded and focused, remembering all the reasons that we have to be grateful to Him and remembering His greatness, His faithfulness, His all-seeing eye, and His loving care. And I hope this has helped us to be mindful of this no matter what our circumstances might be like in life. This lesson has been specifically for those who are faithful Christians. It's my expectation that the ones who will listen to this will primarily be faithful members of the Lord's church. But if you're listening here today and you're not a faithful member of the Lord's church, either you've not done what is needful according to Scripture to get into Christ, or you have done that, but you're not living a life that is right according to what God commands of us, please understand all of these wonderful blessings that we've been expressing here as we've looked at these passages today are blessings that are fully realized and enjoyed by those who are the faithful in Christ. While God provides great comfort and encouragement in His Word to those who are faithful, He at the same time provides harsh warnings about what's going to ultimately happen to the unfaithful, as He makes it very clear in His Word that hell is real and that those who are unrighteous are going to spend eternity there. But the wonderful news for anyone who is not right with God is to understand that you have the choice to change that, to come to God on His terms. If you're one who's not yet a Christian, you can do that by believing on Jesus as the Son of God, by determining to give your life to Him in repentance, and by being baptized in His name for the remission of sins upon confession of your belief in Jesus. And we can help you at any time if you need assistance. If you'd like to be baptized into Christ, we can help you with that at any time. Please feel free to reach out to us. You can contact us through the website, or you can contact us by reaching the number that is listed on the website, 217-218-0803. For any Christians who might be listening who are not right with God, we see in His Word that anything in our lives that's separating us from Him, we need to repent of that, we need to turn away from it, and we need to go to Him in prayer and ask for His forgiveness. And the erring Christian who does that is then forgiven and has that fellowship with God restored, and we'd encourage you to do that. If you have any need at all, please feel free to reach out and ask for the support that you might need, whatever that might be. Want to conclude the lesson here this week with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. And if you do have access to a songbook, this is going to be number 612 in Hymns for Worship, Love Lifted Me, number 612. Please feel free to sing along if you have a hymnal. Thank you very much, and hope everyone has a good day.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to Him belongs. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the Master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.